WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
On this archive edition, we have an interview with Brian De Palma, a film director who has provoked strong reactions. Pauline Kael praised him for his seductive, virtuosic control of film craft, which enables him to express even what is in the unconscious. Others have condemned him for excessive use of violence. De Palma's movies include Carrie, Dressed to Kill, The Untouchables, Scarface, Casualties of War, Bonfire of the Vanities, Carlito's Way, and Mission Impossible. His new film, Mission to Mars, opened today. When the first manned mission to Mars meets with a catastrophic and mysterious disaster, a rescue mission is launched to investigate what happened and bring back any survivors. In this scene, the rescue team, played by Tim Robbins, Gary Sinise, Jerry O'Connell, and Connie Nielsen, are nearing the planet and examining their monitor to see what's left of the base camp.
Looks deserted. Still standing, though. So's the ERV. And look, there's the greenhouse.
Well, we know Luke survived for at least a few hours. Now, are there any signs of recent activity?
There. Scan northeastern quadrant of base camp. What the hell are those?
Graves.
Wait a minute, there's only three of them. That means that Luke's still gotta be alive. It means he's still down there.
It just means there's no one left to bury him.
I spoke with Brian De Palma in 1993, after the release of Carlito's Way.
I'd like to talk with you a little bit about your background and get into how you started being interested in movies. You were raised in Philadelphia. Your father was an orthopedic surgeon.
Yes.
So did he take you to operations?
Yes, I spent a few summers observing operations.
Now, some people get really squeamish when they see that, and other people are absolutely fascinated by it. What was your reaction?
I was kind of fascinated. I was, you know, very interested in science. I'm a science fair winner in the Franklin Institute for many years. And I had a very kind of scientific eye on it. I'm a very good person to have around in an accident. In the sense that, you know, blood and, you know, people being hurt doesn't faze me at all. But, no, it was really quite interesting. It's nice. Followed him around on his rounds at Jefferson when I was, you know, 16, 17, 18.
A lot of people have commented on the influence of Hitchcock on your work. What did you like about Hitchcock's vocabulary when you were starting to form your own?
We basically thought the same way. He thought in terms of images, and so did I. So it was like an immediate meeting of the minds. I immediately saw what he was doing and spent many years learning all the things that he had developed. And then I sort of started to develop a vocabulary of my own.
When you started making movies, did you have a vision of what you wanted to do differently? Not just from Hitchcock, but I mean differently as a young director starting out wanting to make his mark.
Not really. You just sort of evolve. You have certain subject material that interests you. I started making sort of, you know, hippie, anti-establishment movies.
Like Greetings and Hi, Mom.
Yes, and then I spent, you know, a decade making thrillers because I wanted to learn about, you know, visual storytelling. And then I sort of got interested in a variety of different subjects, mainly that were driven by character and emotion.
Okay, thrillers. Now, why do thrillers lend themselves to visual storytelling more than other genres might?
Because you don't have to spend a lot of time with character development. All those scenes where people sit down and look earnestly into each other's eyes that you see on your soap operas every day are not required in thrillers.
And there's a lot of just like little visual details that can...
They're all driven by visual ideas, you know, finding something, following somebody, chasing after somebody, looking, observing, which are all things that are purely cinematic. Very difficult to do. Most directors don't have a clue about what it is because most directors spend a lot of time just photographing scripts, which any clever Xerox machine can do. doesn't take a lot of brains to put two people across from each other and have them talk to each other and take a two shot. And then maybe an over the shoulder. And then another over the shoulder. Then they get up and walk out of the room. Directing.
I think Casualties of War is very much a character.
Yes, it is.
Oriented movie, and mm-hmm. it's stunning.
Yes.
Visually. Would you choose a scene from there that that you'd want to describe, how you put it together to show, not action, but to show what was happening inside somebody?
Well, I thought that the way that the you finally show that all the guys raped the girl was done in a very elegant way, because it's done in a series of dissolves with the camera pulling back farther and farther and farther and farther. And then you realize, and then you cut to a close-up of Michael J. Fox, and you realize this is what he is watching. That's that big close-up with him with the rain hitting him on the face, and you realize he's been watching these four guys, you know, rape this girl. And there's no sort of physicality to the rape. It's kind of like a, I don't know, it's funereal is, I guess, the best way to describe it. And it's done in a series of very slow dissolves. And then you're brought to, well, where are we watching this from? We're witnessing this as he's witnessing it. And then you cut to this incredible close-up of his face, and you see his frustration and impotence that he can't do anything, and his sorrow. And I felt that worked very effectively.
Mm-hmm. You once told Marcia Pally in an interview that you didn't like to see scary movies because being scared meant losing control, and being a director is about being the one in control. Was there a time when you felt you lost control as the director?
No, never. Oh, well, sometimes when you're doing an improvisation, and like in Be Black Baby and Hi Mom, where you've basically worked out a kind of open-ended improvisation, and what you're trying to capture is a kind of, you know, documentary reality, and you basically just let the actors interact, and you just basically cover it like you would if you were a documentary filmmaker. And that did happen in Be Black Baby, and that was very exciting, where you don't know where it's going to explode. Mm-hmm. And it always surprises you, and that's what you catch on film, and it's as vivid to me now as it was then.
Is it true that you don't like to see scary films?
No.
No, you don't, or no, it's not true?
No, I don't like to see scary films. I don't like to be scared. Boo is something that I don't like.
And why not?
I'd rather be the puppet master than the puppet. I mean, who wouldn't?
As you've, you know, as you became better known and started making more expensive movies and got deeper into the industry, did that bring more compromises you felt you had to make? Does one have to make more compromises as one gets deeper into the industry?
That is the age-old question.
I'm sorry.
I mean,
do we have to end the interview now? Was it really horrible?
The age-old question. I mean, I exposed myself to Julie Solomon for Bonfire of the Vanities precisely to answer these questions.
Yeah, well, you know, I really admire you for allowing her to, you know, for opening up the door and allowing her to write that book. It's a fascinating book.
That's right, because you really try to show what happens as it happens and how these seemingly strange things occur on the screen that make no logical sense when you're looking at them for the first time.
Mm-hmm. And it's a book that really shows a lot of the frustrations in casting and shooting and budget that go on behind the scenes. Would you do
Yes.
it again? Would you let a journalist see everything that was involved in the making of a film again?
No, I think it's a one-time experience, because a lot of people get their feelings hurt, and there's no such thing as Hollywood reporting, really, because you're basically just being served publicity material to reprocess out into the media. Nobody really tells you exactly what's going on, and I guess the closest thing you get is gossip.
Is that why you felt it was a good idea to let her do it, so that there'd be a real report on
No,
her
I thought the good idea, basically, because I would get questions about, well, do you do you have creative control over your casting, and how does the studio affect your work? And everybody I'd be talking to would seem like I was at an interview in 1930s while I was a contract director at MGM. It seemed to have no reality to the world I had been working in 20, 25 years. So that's why I let Julia board on Bonfire of the Vanity, so she could see what was going on. So maybe the journalists would read this book and maybe not ask these questions again. Now, to answer your question.
Yes.
Directors that have a certain track record, like myself, and you know, Spielberg, Scorsese, Coppola, I mean, a bunch I can name, Sidney Pollack, they have a certain power because of the quality of the films they've made and the successful films they've made. So consequently, you are able to do pretty much what you want to do. Are you influenced by agents, producers, studio heads, marketing meetings? Sure. Do you have the ultimate say about everything that goes on the screen? Yes. So it's a sort of a process that works on you, but you are completely responsible for all of the decisions that go on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And and Bonfire of the Vanities is an excellent example in which I made a lot of decisions that when I think about it now, I probably would have done differently. But I made all those decisions myself.
Mm-hmm. You were talking before about how thrillers have a lot of opportunity for visual storytelling. Is it the same way with violence? Or do you find that violence lends itself to the kind of visual language you like to use?
Here we go again.
What did I do now?
I mean, here's a question I've answered for 25 years. The thing about violence in cinema is it's cinematic. That's why it appears in cinema. Now, of course, you can never defend violence because it's like defending wife beaters. I mean, you know, what can you say positively about violence? Violence is good. I like violence. You can't say any of these things without getting your head beaten to death. So consequently, I'll again say for the 9,000th time that violence is part of the palette of cinema. And that's why you see it in cinema. You can't see it on stage. Doesn't work too well. Doesn't work too well in music. Doesn't work too well in painting. Doesn't work too well in ballet. But on screen, it has a tremendous force. And it's specifically cinematic. So if you're making movies, you may move in the terrain of action and violence.
Brian De Palma, recorded in 1993 after the release of his film Carlito's Way. He directed the new film Mission to Mars, which opened today. Coming up, John Powers reviews Jim Jarmusch's new movie, Ghost Dog. This is Fresh Air.